Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is actually one of those stories that when I was young got me interested in the Bible. And I think most of us, probably especially as young boys, right, this story was very pivotal for many of us, you know, the story of David and Goliath. Okay, so let's kind of dig into this. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succah, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Succah and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle to battle array to encounter the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. And he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Again the Philistines said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was a son of the Ephrathah of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse, and had 8 sons. And Jesse was old in the days of Saul, advanced in years among men. And the 3 older sons of Jesse had gone after Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, the second to him Abinadab, the 3rd Shema. And David was the youngest. Now the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. And the Philistine came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. Then Jesse said to David his son, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their 1,000 and look into the welfare of your brothers and bring back news of them. For Saul and they had and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines." So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with the keeper, took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to a circle to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. And he was talking with them. Behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him and said, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in accord with the word, saying, "Thus it will be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David and said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." But David said, "What have I done now? Was it not just a question?" Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. And the people answered the same thing as before. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him, and I rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. And David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine and with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the slain Philistines lay along the way to Shearim, even to Gath and Ekron. And the sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camps. Then David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. Now when Saul saw David going out against the Philistines, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this young man? And Abner said, by your life, O king, I do not know. The king said, you inquire whose son the youth is. So when David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the Philistine's head in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? And David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Amen. So, from this time, this seems to be a story interjected in this whole narrative, because obviously Saul knows who David is. If we read the chapter before, David is the one who was playing the harp, and so this could actually have happened before that incident happened, and so this is just kind of a story about David, and so the timeline, you know, is kind of a little confusing, but in any case. So the Philistines gather now. Basically, it's 27 years passed from Michmash, and that's the last time the Israelites smacked the Philistines down. Philistines have started gaining some strength during this time, but actually still not enough. You know, a lot of scholars say that Goliath, and let me just do the description of Goliath. Goliath was 6 cubits in a span, and so they believe he was about 9 feet tall. A cubit is 18 inches. And then a span. So nine. So for all the metric, 2.7 meters is how tall this guy was. He wore a helmet on his head, and he had an armor scale which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's 125 pounds. His spear itself was 600 shekels of iron, and that's 15 pounds. Yeah, I mean this. So basically, he's not just a big dude; he is a strong dude. And so, I mean, this guy's got some girth and some strength. And so the reason why the Philistines offer this fight is a lot of scholars actually say that the Philistines were actually greatly outnumbered by the Israelites. And so this was part of their military strategy. In terms of man-to-man, the Israelites had much more than the Philistines did. So the Philistines thought, you know what, you know, one-on-one, we're not going to win this thing, so let's have a competition. Let's have one champion, and so obviously Goliath from Gath comes up, and then they ask the Israelites, okay, let there be another champion, And they wait, and he stands in the valley. By the way, this valley was also called the Valley of Blood. And apparently, there's quite a few wars happen. You know, one side, the Israelites, one side, the Philistines. And so this was the Valley of Blood. A lot of battles taking place. And so he stands in this place, and he offers this challenge. And the guy is humongous. I mean, he's huge. And basically, let's have this competition, which actually was not uncommon during these times. Most times, back in these days, it would be actually the kings that went out to fight. And so not necessarily, you know, these guys, but obviously they're breaking ranks. And so they send the biggest, baddest, strongest cat that they got to take on the Israelites. And the Israelites, you can see in verse 11, and Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines. They were dismayed and they were afraid. They were afraid. Even though they outnumbered the Philistines, even though that they had probably greater power during this time, they had more land, they were the dominant society at this stage here. And so the demonic plan comes into effect. And so how does the enemy work? What does he do? He uses intimidation. And so he's intimidating the Israelites, and it totally works. So we're introduced to Jesse. So David is the last of the sons. We know that before. He's got three of the older brothers. They go out to battle in Saul's army. So the dad says, Jesse says, David, go and take care. Usually these battles only lasted 3 or 4 days. But this must have been going on for a long time. So much so that since his sons don't come back, Jesse decides to send food and ask, what's going on, basically? What's the welfare? So he sends food. David gets there, and first thing he hears the Goliath's challenge, and then he goes in about the camp and asks, basically, are we going to do anything about this? This guy's taunting the armies of the living God. Are we just going to stand for this? And then it turns to, well, what's going to happen to the one who goes out and defeats him? Notice that David, from day one, he has no doubt whatsoever that the Israel army is going to win. All the Israelites and Saul, they're afraid, but you can tell by David's language. So the guy that kills him, what does he get? I mean, he has got so much confidence. And maybe it's not him, but somebody in his army, because he puts his faith in God. He doesn't put his faith on the Israelite army. He says he has taunted the armies of the living God. It's God that you've offended. And this army belongs to the Lord. And so, well, you're going to get a wife, you know, and probably, you know, even better, you'll never pay taxes your whole life. Can you imagine, you know, getting that thing? You'll never pay taxes ever again. You know, and on top of that, you'll never have to serve in the military. That was also part of this deal. Free from taxes and free from public service. And you won't have to do any of these things. And you know, basically, you get set up into royalty. You become the son-in-law of the king. And so, now, remember yesterday we talked about David as Katan, right? He's despised in his family. You can see that again. And you can see now Eliab is fiercely angry with David. Remember the chapter before when Jesse brought Eliab to Samuel, and the Lord said through Samuel, it's not him. In fact, I have rejected him. And so you know that there's something little off about Eliab. You know what I mean? There's just something to such strong language that I have rejected this man. And so Eliab is probably very jealous. And it comes out that when Eliab hears, and to him, it's his little brother mouthing off. And he comes to him, and he's angry with him. His anger burns against David. And he says, why have you come down? How come you're not tending the sheep? I know your heart. Your heart is dark. You're insolent. And you just came here to see this spectacle. And look at David's response. Look what he says in verse 29. What have I done now? What have I done now? So you could pick him in the language that his brothers were all over him all the time. He probably got blamed for all kinds of stuff. Why? If you remember going back to the Orphan Heart series, why? because I bet his father mistreated him in front of his brothers. And so his father thought he was worthless. They see that happening, and so it's easy for the brothers to pick up that same idea and abuse him in that regard. And, I mean, this is a poor little kid, right? It's like, what have I done now? I haven't done anything. You know, I mean, what's your problem? What's going on here? You know, and he says, I was just asking a question. I was just asking a question. And, you know, I see this with our girls sometimes. Now, I would like to say that we treat all our girls well, so don't make a connection with the parents. You know, we're not Jesse, okay? So just be clear. But sometimes when, like, Elise is in a bad mood or any of the kids, they usually take it out on the other girls. And usually it's Hannah, unfortunately, you know. But Hannah is so tough. She always fights back. And it becomes this huge thing. And but it's this idea of, like, they just simply ask a simple question. But because, like the older one has issues, it just comes out in that regard. And that's what Eliab does. And so David, he is not deterred. And you can see the heart of David in that way. His brother is just all over him. And he doesn't shut up. He just goes ask someone else the same question. He just goes find somebody else. He will not be deterred in this way. Saul hears about this. And he brings David in. And David says, I'll go. And Saul says, no. He says, no. It's like, Saul, king, you don't understand. I've killed lions and bears. I mean, you know, sometimes, like, we read, like, Bible stories, and we're like, yeah, lions and bears, yeah, okay, you know, sure, whatever. It's like, people killed lions and bears back in those days with their hands. They did it, you know what I mean? Like, this is crazy, like, lions and bears, and he's like, I killed them, and they came after my sheep, and he says, I attacked them. And the same God who's protected, look at this correlation. Remember David, the shepherd, Jesus Christ, our shepherd. And he says that he went and he protected his sheep in that same way that I'm going to protect the sheep of Israel, basically. And you see the shepherd motif really begin to blossom, you know, really through David in this way. And then he goes and, you know, Saul puts his armor on David. It totally doesn't fit. You know what I mean? He says, I can't wear this. It's not been tested. And this is a really, really good illustration for us in that way. In other words, you always be you. You know what I mean? Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to run anyone else's race. You run your race. God has uniquely equipped you to fight the good fight of faith. Don't look at someone else's spiritual gifts and say, well, why don't I have that? You have your own set of spiritual gifts, and it's effective. No weapon formed against you will prosper. God will take care of you, but you have to be yourself. Run the race set before us, set before you in that way. And so it's important that we understand. So David says, no, I mean, it was the best armor around. It was the king's armor. But he says, I can't take it because it's not been tested. It just doesn't fit me. It doesn't go that way. He has a sense of who he is in that place. You know what I mean? There's, you know, I mean, we were talking yesterday about a little bit. I mean, he has a sense of identity. He knows who he is in the Lord. And that is his strength. He doesn't have to be like Saul. He doesn't have to be like anybody else. He doesn't have to be like any other Israelite soldier that comes with sword and spear and helmet. He comes with nothing, and he comes with his sling. Because that's who he is. That's how he's defeated the bear and the lion. And so he is... In essence, in this regard, he is comfortable in his skin in this way. And he doesn't try to be like anybody else, doesn't try to copy anyone else. And he goes, and he's extremely successful. He goes out, puts away all the armor, and he starts approaching, and he takes 5 smooth stones. There's a great book that Eugene Peterson wrote called 5 Smooth Stones. And it's on pastoral ministry. It's talking about the weapons that God gives us. And he takes these smooth stones, and they say he picked up 5 of them. And there's some kind of talk in this regard, because he only needed one. But most likely, Goliath actually had 4 brothers. And I think some scholars say that David set out to finish the job, right? That he's not just going to go after, you know, Goliath, he's going to go after his whole family, basically. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily true. It sounds really good, you know. It sounds like, wow, it's like, you know, David's like commando, you know, kind of thing. He's like Navy SEAL type. But, you know, they're trying to make some correlation why he picked up five smooth stones instead of just one. And so he runs out. The Philistine curses him. And, you know, and David says this great speech. You know, he's just running. You come in spear, sword. I come in the name of the Lord. And he, you know, the story. And he slings this thing, hits him right in the forehead. And this was the Lord, okay? Because David put his hand into his bag, 49, took the stone, slung it, struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead that he fell on his face to the ground. I believe this was like angelic assistance. You know what I mean? So he just yields the sling. The sling hits the Philistine, and I think God pushed the stone into his forehead. And it's kind of like, you know, those movies where the bullet, you know, it's, and you see it kind of go in. That's my own personal interpretation. It's probably not true, but I'd like to think that, you know, Holy Spirit took his finger and, you know, shoved it into his forehead and he dies. You know, I mean, it's just a rock hitting this giant man. And I don't know if you've got ever hit by rocks before and whatnot. And you know, I'm sure he could just die from that, but I like to think there was something more spiritual happening, you know, in this place. And David prevails, he cuts off his head, and he cuts off his head. This was a common near ancient tradition to give the head to the king. It was an offering, a reward to the king in this regard. And does it, you know, the Philistines, they totally lied. Remember they say, if you defeat me, then we'll be your slaves. You know, they see this and they just take off running. And they become nobody's slave. And so they're a bunch of liars, man. They don't even, you know, in defeat to live up to what they said. They strike him down, and a great victory happens. And then David is introduced to Saul. Or, I mean, some scholars believe that he's a little bit older. I mean, he's still quite young. And so now he's got a beard. And so that he, you know, Saul may have not recognized him. You know, that could also be another aspect there. So let's close our eyes. Yeah, I could spend days talking about this. In fact, I think I have a sermon series online on David and Goliath. I think it's like three sermons, like way back in like 2006. Because like I said, I mean, I really love this story of David and Goliath. It's like one of those stories that really got me interested in reading the Bible. And so if I just take one little part of that, you know, this idea that even though he was given the best armor, he says, I can't use this. It's not been tested. David didn't compare himself to others. David didn't wish to be anybody else. He didn't covet anyone else's skill set or gifts or position. He knew who he was. He was a shepherd. And when he used his sling, it was effective against bears and lions. And so he was comfortable in his skin. He knew who he was. He's not a warrior. He's a shepherd. But when God is with you, he'll take everything that you are, everything that you have, and he'll do amazing things through your life. I just love the confidence of David. You know, in the midst, everyone is afraid. Even the king, huge army is afraid. And David said, so what's going to happen to the guy that kills this guy? I just love that confidence in him. But, you know, David was not confident in his abilities. He was confident in his God. What challenges are we being faced? Are there Goliaths in our life right now? It's just a demonic assignment to intimidate us. We got to step into that place, that confidence of God like David, and says, how dare you, Goliath, you financial problem, you relational problem, you job problem, how dare you taunt the army, the man of God, the woman of God? How dare you do that? And then go out with who you are and the weapons that God has given you. and you fight the good fight of faith. Let's cast down every Goliath that faces us and faces our church. And let's go with the confidence of David. Again, not in his ability, but confidence in our God. Paul says in Romans 8, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Isn't that awesome? He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The angel turns in the Gospels and he says, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Is there anything that's too difficult for him? It's the God, mighty God that we serve. Let's put our faith and trust in him.
Oh, see how great is our God.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray that no matter what challenges are before us, that we would put confidence not in ourselves, but in the God whom we serve, and in the God who is more than able, and the God that loves and cares for us and will fight for us. Let's pray. Let's knock down every Goliath in our life. Pray for our community. Let's ask God to heal our members and family that are going through illness with cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's comfort and His healing word. Let's pray for our community that needs to be healed, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that Jesus would reveal Himself to them in healing and also in salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses. So let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and His open doors. Go to our mission focus, and today let's pray for Cambodia, pray for grace at Bloom, pray for the country and the ministry, and pray for Japan as well. Pray the Lord would just breathe life into this country, and pray for Pastor Sophia. She's here. She's actually leaving this morning back to Japan, and so make sure you have a chance to greet her And let's just ask God's hand to be with her, and you know, with her health, and also with her language studies and things going on at the churches there. And let's just pray for God's wisdom and favor. Let's lift up our sisters and lift up these countries. Let's pray for our missions council. Let's ask God to place His hand upon our leaders as they lead our church and our mission endeavors. Pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and just really deep understanding of the heart of God, and that they would really lead our church in a way that pleases Him, especially related to missions, local and foreign. Pray for our local outreach ministries, so Agape, HOMI, SP Lives, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's ask the Lord to use our leaders and our volunteers and all the people that we come in contact with in these ministries, that they would experience Christ in some way. Let's pray for our Friday activities, SPU and IP. Let's pray Holy Spirit would meet with our college students and also with our prayer teams, that God, that there would be such anointing tonight to lift up Jesus and to be transformed in our hearts. Let's pray for McCain and McRobinson meeting tonight. And let's pray for Holy Spirit's touch. And let's pray for the leaders and the hosts, and just God's presence would be there, especially as they share testimonies and you know, things just kind of download after the retreat. And let's pray for a wonderful night. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. Thank you for David, God. Thank you for these verses, Lord. And it's so inspiring, Lord God, that when we put our faith in you, God, not in ourselves, not in our abilities, God, but we put our faith in you, Lord, there's nothing we can't do. God, we will destroy every giant that faces us, God. And so, Lord, help us to, Lord, walk in the confidence that David walked in. Again, not in himself, but in you, God. God, if you are with us, Lord, who can be against us? Help us to always be reminded, Lord, it's so easy to be intimidated by the Goliaths in our life, God. Lord, but we thank you, Lord, that when we are in you, Lord, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And so we thank you. We bless you. We love you. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And we'll see you guys over the weekend.